Welcome to another Pharmacy in Practice podcast. So we've got Mr. Ian Rodd with us this morning. Ian, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, Jonathan. I'm Ian Rudd. I'm Director of Pharmacy in NHS Highland, so I have responsibility for the health authority that has the largest land area in the UK under my role. So that's what I do on a day-to-day basis.
Excellent. We're really, really delighted to have someone as senior as you on, and actually as well from such an interesting geographical area. I might as well just start with that. So what's pharmacy like in the Highlands? How's it different? The geography must come into it.
I think the geography does. I mean, there's some very practical issues, such as just the sheer logistics of getting medicines around the Highlands, which create its own interests and challenges. We have a number of pharmacies that operate, if you like, on small islands, so Mull or Islay, places like that, Bute. So that makes getting our pharmacists around the patch a bit more difficult as well. We have the challenges that we all face in remote and rural areas, where recruitment and retention are more difficult perhaps than in more urban areas. It's harder to attract younger graduates out of the more urban areas around the schools of pharmacy. So we have to work very hard at trying to make the services we provide and the opportunities we offer our pharmacists as attractive as possible through innovative working and other ways of introducing new services or changes that make it attractive, as I say, for people to come and join us. The other way we have to work is by having pharmacists who do possibly many roles. We have, in some cases, not necessarily in Highland, but on some of the small island boards, we have pharmacists who work in secondary care, primary care, i.e. general practice, but also in community pharmacy as well, and flex between those. So what we're looking for is an innovative pharmacist and pharmacy technicians to help us deliver those services.
Yeah, I suppose having spent quite a lot of time in Scotland now and the Highlands as well, if you ever get fed up with the challenges, you just look out the window, don't you? It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it's a great place to work. I often find myself driving from Inverness up to Wick or down to Lough Gilphead or even Campbelltown, thinking, well, my colleagues are stuck in traffic jams somewhere on the M8, so it's not always as difficult as it might seem. And yes, you get a lovely place to visit, a lovely place to work as well. Lots of people are interested in the outdoors and enjoying life. So whilst it may seem remote at times, it offers huge opportunities for professional development, but also for living your life, if you like.
And I'm gonna show off here and quote the Danish economist Martha Bosrup. She said the necessity is the mother of invention, and I think that the impression that I get looking at the work in NHS Highland is that innovation is embraced, possibly partly because it has to be. One of the things that I've noticed is the NHS near me, and that's been a very. Have you been involved in that much, Ian?
Well, not specifically in the NHS near me project, as it grows arms and legs, if you like, but it actually started out almost as Pharmacy Near Me. Claire Morrison, the pharmacist who was responsible for the north area of the Highlands, that sort of Sutherland, a bit well north of Inverness, we knew that we had difficulties reaching through to patients. We spent a lot of time with our pharmacists driving between one general practice or one community hospital and another. So using innovative technology, we managed to establish a pilot where we had a pharmacist working in Dingwall, just out of Inverness, working remotely with a care home down near Fort Williams. That's about 80 miles away or so. And that proved very successful. On the basis of that development of technology, NHS Highland's gone on to really try and lead on NHS Near Me, which means that a lot of our patients now, for not just pharmaceutical services, but also for general medical services, be they wanting to video conference into an oncology clinic or a respiratory medicine clinic are able to do so, and that saves a lot of time for all concerned. And we see this as a way we're going to have to deliver the new pharmacotherapy service. We want to have more contact with our patients. Equally, what we don't want is our pharmacists spending a long time driving between place to place. So what we can do, we will try and do from a hub wherever possible. That will enable us to develop standard ways of working. It will enable us to deliver the most efficient pharmacotherapy service we can, with the elements that we're required to deliver there. And then that will mean that the times that the pharmacists do have to go and meet patients face to face, those are the high quality contacts, appointments that are required. So yeah, so new ways of working will be absolutely necessary in the Highlands if we're to utilize the resource that's available to us to deliver pharmacotherapy service.
It's I'm going to handbrake turn that perfect segue that you did there. We're going to come back to the pharmacotherapy service, because that is, I mean, that, you know, let's be honest, that is a hot topic just now. But I'm always quite interested, you know, you're in a reasonably senior position in the NHS in Scotland, and particularly in pharmacy in Scotland. So I'm always quite keen to understand about the person behind these roles. So what gets you up in the morning as a pharmacist?
What gets me up in the morning is probably an interest in seeing what's going to be new in the day. There's lots of things I'd probably not be that keen to get up for 4 in the morning if I didn't have to. But the things that get me up in the morning is what's new, what's innovative, what can we try, how can we do this better, how can we do this more efficiently, how can we make this better for patient experience, how can pharmacy develop itself and its services such that it's seen as a really integral part of healthcare delivery, that pharmacists are seen as clinical practitioners in just the same way that people see doctors, nurses, physiotherapists, etc. So those are things that get me out of the morning. In the morning, it's innovation, it's development, it's ideas. The routine stuff, yeah, that needs to be done, but it's not necessarily what gets me out of bed.
And we're often, you know, we're really good at giving ourselves self-praise in pharmacy in Scotland. You know, we're always announcing ourselves to be world leading and stuff. And to a certain extent, well, to a large extent, I think that's justified. But what's your take on the state of Scottish pharmacy, and maybe each of the sectors? Do you think we're firing on all cylinders, working together perfectly well? What's your take on that?
I think there's huge potential, and there has been huge developments. If we look at the Scottish, start with community pharmacy, the current contract was innovative when it came into play. Obviously, things are moving on and it will need renewing and reviewing in near future. But things like Pharmacy First, the new access to wider minor ailments service, will be really innovative and have taken pharmacy to the next step. We can now see our GP practices starting to say, gosh, if pharmacy can take on that workload and that extra patient group, could they take on this or could they take on that? And at the moment, probably one of the great constraints is actually community pharmacy's capacity to deliver within all the other pressures that are on community pharmacists. And when I speak to community pharmacists, this is one of the great frustrations, is they want to deliver new and broader and deeper services, and they know they can, and they know they'll do it well, and we will, as a population, get really good value from that. The challenge is how they do that within what are the demands of the day job. So whilst as strategic leaders we can make a change there, the opportunity also exists for, I think, community pharmacy leaders to begin to reflect on what the future might look like and how things could be restructured such that we have a really bright future ahead of us. So that's community pharmacy. Primary care, pharmacy, well, there's a huge opportunity. I do say to the new students I meet coming through as pharmacy students and also the new pharmacists, I say to them, this is not just a once in a generation change, that would only be a 25 year opportunity, but this is actually a once in a career change. That's maybe 30, 35, 40 year opportunity that is now there in front of you to grasp. And if we grasp it and we do well, then that will really help us give pharmacy a really sure foundation going forward. I think there will be opportunities for that primary care pharmacy model to transfer into community pharmacy. I think where we've got in the Highlands, where we've got small towns or villages which have maybe one practice and one community pharmacy, and they are 30 or 40 miles from next pharmacy or next GP practice, then there's a real opportunity for those two services, the community pharmacy and general practice, to work together to deliver best pharmacotherapy service that we can for the patients in the locality. If we rely on it all being delivered from a sort of a centralist primary care service model, we lose all the flexibility that's there. I think the other thing with that model is that it would deliver a lot of resilience. It may mean that we could have two pharmacists in that community, whereas at the moment we can only support one, or we could have one and a half instead of one. And that would give huge surety to patients, to the GPs, that community pharmacy will be able to deliver the service consistently and effectively. And for that, that's a real challenge for us to make sure that we train our community pharmacists in the future to the level that is necessary to deliver the wider aspects of pharmacotherapy. And then if we move to secondary care, I think pharmacotherapy developments have given a bit of an impetus to secondary care. We've always had a lot of specialist pharmacists working in services there. We now see them as prescribers, as leading services. I see leading services almost in clinics. Pharmacists are really good, not just at possibly the patient-facing element, but they're very strong in structure and process. And that helps improve governance and flow and efficiency and all the other things that go on there. I think the bit we're probably missing at the moment is that link between secondary care and between the pharmacotherapy service. We know that if the pharmacotherapy pharmacists are going to have to be the pharmacist generalists of the future, and we want them to have skills across a range of clinical conditions. So what we need is our secondary care, in my view, secondary care pharmacists who are skilled in respiratory medicine or in hematology or in pediatrics or medicines information or mental health, and I'll maybe come back to mental health in just a second. We need those pharmacists to put training programs together so that the generalist elements of respiratory medicine, hematology, pediatrics, whatever, can be taught and transferred to our pharmacotherapy pharmacists. And as I said earlier, that could equally be transferred to our community pharmacists, as I would see it, of the future. The example I was going to use about mental health is that we've had two of our mental health pharmacists based in general practices. We've taken them out of the hospital, put them into general practices, and they've worked with patients with anxiety and mild depression. They've worked to make sure their medication has been optimized, but they've also worked to make sure that where possible, we have ways of reducing patient reliance on medication. One of the things I'm really strong on is actually only using medication where it's absolutely necessary, because we find ourselves with lots of patients who end up on medicines and we don't really perhaps manage that as well. But the advantage of those mental health pharmacists being in practice is they have now seen how they could transfer some of the generalist skills they have in mental health, managing mental health medicines, if you like, to our general practice clinical pharmacists. And we're working on a program of how we're going to do that now. So that's how I see the end-to-end integration and service development across all of the pharmacy sectors we have.
Well, yeah, we're going to run into trouble here, because I usually, you know, try to pin people down and ask them tricky questions, basically, because I sometimes disagree. But honestly, that is so uplifting. I mean, there was a lot in that answer, you know, community, GP, your rural kind of remote and rural influences coming in. I get the impression you personally are very much a, well, why not type person. And I think that's just brilliant, because, you know, the more we can kind of work together and blur these lines, the better. Your GP practice, community pharmacy, in a remote and rural location example kind of resonated with me out of that answer. And you know, if you've got 40 miles to travel, to access any other service, it's absolutely daft that they're not connected and working symbiotically as one. But as you rightly pointed out, the contractual levers have to be pulled, I guess. And the other thing I would say is that I totally agree on this GP practice thing. So there's no doubt that is, in a positive way, that is a shock to the market. That's a shock to the system, as it were. And it is a generational thing. I agree with you on that. Quite underreported that there is a bit of an exodus out of community. So we really need to, my sort of call is to try and stop that. Now that might have unintended short term positive benefits, in that, you know, wages might be driven up in community as pharmacists are harder to find. But in the long run, I think you're right. We need to unlock this willingness of community pharmacists to kind of get involved and do some of this interesting sort of, well, you mentioned it, medicines optimization stuff, isn't it? I'll let you go to the pharmacotherapy service now, because we're both keen to speak about that. So what is it in a nutshell? What's your sort of interpretation of what was written in the original document?
In a nutshell, I think it is about pharmacists are helping our patients to get the best value that they, the patient, and we, the service, if you like, that provide the medicines, can get from those medicines. We know already from our work across the Highlands or in the Highlands that when we go into practices, there's GP practices, there's many different ways that they actually manage both the flow and the review of medicines. And one of the things I said earlier pharmacists would be good at is actually addressing the process issues within managing medicines, but also they'll be good at taking a holistic focus on where we get value from medicines, where we perhaps get less value from medicines, and what alternatives could there be. So I would like us to see really pharmacotherapy becoming a service just as say physiotherapy or musculoskeletal services are. The patient gets seen in the practice, the issue is identified as a pharmacotherapy issue, the responsibility for managing the pharmacotherapy is passed to the pharmacist, and that patient's pharmacotherapy care remains with the pharmacist until such a time that the pharmacist has exhausted all the opportunities there are for managing the patient's pharmacotherapy for that condition and or all conditions. And only at that point does the patient be returned to perhaps into the general practice pot for further decisions to be taken about what other care could be provided. I can see a time when there could be referrals between primary care pharmacists and secondary care pharmacists, or at least conversations between those two about how best to manage a patient in primary care or in the community, if you like, in their community, such that we avoid unnecessary hospital admissions, unnecessary trips to hospitals for clinics or things like that. So for me, that's how I see pharmacotherapy working. I'm really keen to see, as you say, how we can get our community pharmacists more engaged in that. I respect the job that community pharmacists do. I don't think I don't think I could work in a community pharmacy in the way that many of my colleagues do. So I admire the range of skills they have. I admire the service they provide. I think, as you say, we probably need to begin to think about how we can add and broaden those skills to provide more services, but equally at the same time, how we might allow the other service that they provide, be it the medicines supply element of it, to become more efficient, such that the pharmacists become the high-end deliverers of service, which I think ultimately will make community pharmacy more attractive. For new graduates coming in, there's a lot of places or a lot of roles available to pharmacists now on graduation. And for me, one of the great risks for community pharmacy is that if we don't improve and perhaps change what we're providing, it will be a sector of our profession that people are less keen to join or engage in.
And it's tricky, isn't it? Because they you know, technically they're independent contractors to the NHS. So I guess the onus is on the businesses to adapt. I suppose in Scotland we are a wee bit different. I would politely suggest to England, I think the leadership around community pharmacy is much tighter, and there's a much stronger, more coordinated voice. But do you know what? I'd love. And I'd be interested to know if you think this could ever happen. I'd love a community pharmacy pharmacotherapy service. I think that should be the next stage.
Yeah, I think I take a view that in the future we may not distinguish between primary care pharmacotherapy service and community pharmacy pharmacotherapy service, if you like. I'd like to see it being a community-based pharmacotherapy service. Now, whether that's delivered in general practices or whether that's delivered from community pharmacies may depend on the skill set that's available. It may depend on the facilities that are available. It may depend on the geography that's there, but I would like the opportunity to be there for community pharmacists to ready and able to do that work, to be given that opportunity. And as you say, yes, we've done well, we've developed a good contract in Scotland, we've got good community pharmacy leaders. What I'd like to see happening next is that we really address how we're going to widen the opportunities to our community pharmacists to deliver a pharmacotherapy service from their pharmacy, as opposed to having to leave their community pharmacy and go into a general practice or somewhere else to deliver that service.
Excellent. So just to change the subject slightly, but it is leading on from that, I guess. You're talking at the Celtic Conference. What's your topic and what are you talking about there?
I'm very keen to focus on some of the issues and themes that I've raised already. I think I've got four key themes. I want to talk about professional development. How do we go about developing our pharmacists for the future? And indeed, why do we need to develop our pharmacists for the future? I want to speak about professional autonomy, so that pharmacy takes its rightful place as a fully autonomous, functioning healthcare profession within a wider grouping of healthcare professions. I think over time we've perhaps lost that autonomy, that professional standing to a degree. And by no means am I referring to community pharmacy, I'm referring to pharmacy as a profession as a whole. I want to see us develop our professional expertise. The more expert we are in medicines, the more we can do, the more we can deliver, and that'll be good for our patients, but that'll also be good for the wider perception of the pharmacy profession. And then I want us to use research and to help guide the developments that need to take place, both in terms of service personnel, autonomy, etc., so that we've got a service that is evidence-based, that's really delivering a high-quality service for the future, and indeed, in many ways, sustains the pharmacy profession for the next 20, 30 years.
I like it. I like it. I'm going to come along and listen, actually. I'm very interested. One of my favorite words is autonomy. I think that's at the core of, and I know there's a lot sits behind that around training and development and stuff like that, but I believe that is the core crux of where our profession needs to head. We need to carefully but bravely head towards that genuine autonomous working, I think. Almost finished, but what because you're in a, you know, I mentioned again, you're in a leadership position. What's your advice for youngsters coming out of uni? You know, if I was a pre-reg, what would you say to me?
I would say you're probably entering the pharmacy profession at the most exciting time in the last 40 years, I would think. The opportunities to take on new roles, to develop professional skills, to be seen as a fully autonomous member of healthcare professions is an opportunity that's not been there in a long, long time. And if you're ambitious and if you're creative and if you're curious, then this is just the right time to be joining the profession.
Brilliant. I think I might phone you every Monday morning, Ian. You're extremely positive, so we'll chat again next week at 9 o'clock. Okay. And I one final thing: are you worried about how good the Irish rugby team are with the World Cup coming up?
Being a New Zealander, yes, I'm very, very concerned. So,
Thought you might. Sure.
that's my background. But I have great faith in the All Blacks. They'll pull the iron out of the fire.
It's yours to lose. Like, no pressure, you know.
I won't lose too much sleep over it just yet.
That's fine. Overconfidence, that's what we like. No, it's been really, really good chat, and thank you for talking through the pharmacotherapy service particularly. I know that a lot of people are thinking, goodness, where are we with this? And such is the case with anything new. But of course, in Scotland, things are just organized, and they progress in an orderly fashion, and that, and the pharmacotherapy service, as far as I can see so far, is absolutely no exception. So, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you at the Celtic Conference.
Thank you.
Cheers, Ian. Bye bye.
Bye.